Ireland's classic hits, something for the weekend. Good morning, it's Trina Mara. It is Saturday and Bridget Sinnott is here. She is resuscitation manager from the Irish Heart Foundation. Morning, Bridget, how are you doing?
Good morning, how are you?
We all got a bit of a shock last weekend watching the football. 29-year-old Danish footballer Christian Eriksen collapsing on the pitch. And you think of these footballers and you just think about how healthy they are. They're so fit. They do this for a living, exercising. But this can happen to absolutely anybody. And we hear it was a cardiac arrest, but he had no history of a heart problem. And I guess the swift intervention of the Denmark captain and then the medical team, of course, who ran onto the pitch, really saved his life. This is where you come in. CPR, so important really, isn't it?
It is so important. And exactly like I said there, Trina, is that, you know, it's the swift action. So recognising immediately that somebody is in a cardiac arrest, and how to recognise that is the person is unresponsive and they're not breathing normally. And then ringing the emergency services, 112 or 999, answering the questions that the call taker asks you, and then following the directions that they tell you, and then starting CPR. And sometimes people are afraid to start compressions because they're afraid that they can do harm. You can do no harm. And I always say it's better to do CPR on someone that doesn't need it than not do it on someone who does.
Right, okay.
And that's the thing, like, you know, they acted fast, and that's what we need people to do. And then he was very lucky. There was an AED on site as well. You know, and the earlier you get your AED onto the chest, the better your chances of survival as well, because 75% of people who collapse suddenly are in a shockable rhythm. But the thing is that by continuing with your compressions until the AED arrives, you keep the person hopefully in that shockable rhythm for longer.
Right. AED is a defibrillator, is it? A defibrillator?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, yeah. Automated external defibrillator. Yeah, just a big mouthful, soft AED. But it is, it's all about speed, you know, and not delaying, because like every minute without CPR or an AED, your chances of survival decrease by 10% per minute. Yeah. But by starting CPR, you double or even triple a person's chances of survival.
Yeah.
So you really can make a difference. And Kristen, as I said, he was very, very lucky. He was in a place where people were trained in CPR. There was an AED on hand. It was recognized early. Like, he was center stage on the pitch. It was noticed. If he was somebody in the crowd, people may not have noticed as quick at all.
Mm.
So, you know, so everything was in his favour. There was no doubt about it.
Well, they're saying about it, his teammate, Captain Simon Cager, I think is how you say it. And they're saying, like, even though there was obviously a medical team right there on the sideline, all ready to go, even the few seconds that he started doing that CPR before they got onto the pitch, it actually did save his life.
You see, if you think about it, I don't know how many matches you go to, but I go to lots of matches, and oftentimes you see a player going down, but every time you see a player going down, you don't automatically think cardiac arrest at all. You think that maybe they're after going over on their ankle or something. So there is always that slight, you know, few seconds of a delay. So exactly, he was obviously quite close to him, and he jumped in straight away and recognised that things were not right. This wasn't just an ordinary collapse. And it does. Every second counts. Every second really counts. And I think what they reported was that he had one shock from the AED and they got him back. And the reason, like, you know, he was conscious leaving the pitch and everything. So, and that's because everything happened so fast. Like, it's just a great story. It's a great outcome. And it's very encouraging as well. Is what it is
so
for people.
The symptoms of a cardiac arrest, just go through them again first.
Yeah. So, like, most people will report that, you know, like I know a number of people who have survived a cardiac arrest, and they say they were fine. They had no signs or symptoms. They felt fine. They were carrying on doing whatever. And then suddenly they remembered nothing. So you can have those sudden cardiac arrests. There may be no signs or symptoms at all. And it's up to us that are looking on to recognize. So if you go over to somebody and you shake them by the shoulders and there's no response, and then if you check and just look at their chest and see, are they breathing normally? And they're not breathing normally. That's your signs and symptoms of a cardiac arrest.
Mm.
And that's when you need to get in and do your CPR.
CPR, talk us through it. Because I remember doing like a first aid course in transition year 100 years ago. And we did do this, but it's just not really there anymore. The memories, it's something that we all need to be probably retraining in all the time. But talk us through, how do we do CPR?
So as I say, you check for a response. If they're not responding, they need then the emergency services. And the earlier that you ring the ambulance service, the earlier you have help arriving, and you definitely have a defibrillator arriving with the emergency services. Then you just check to see if they're breathing normally. If they're not breathing normally, you place the heel of your hand in the center of the chest, put your other hand on top of the first hand, keep your elbows nice and straight, and then you're going to press down at least, we'll do it inches, 2 inches, 5 centimeters for each compression. And you do 100 to 120 compressions per minute. So it's kind of like bump, 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 bump. And that's what you keep doing. If you keep doing compression-only CPR, you can make a huge difference. The minute that the AED arrives then, switch it on. Follow the directions from the AED. Like, AEDs are the most simple thing in the world to use, because if you switch it on, it'll tell you exactly what to do. When you're putting the pads on the chest, follow the pictures on the pads to show where to place them on the chest, and then listen to the AED, because the AED will then analyze the rhythm. So it's like having a top cardiologist standing beside you telling you what the rhythm is. Mm-hmm. It will then advise whether it's a shock advised or a no shock advised. Because we have to remember, not all cardiac arrests are in shock. You know, not everybody is in a shockable rhythm either. But if you have a person who is in a shockable rhythm and you have your AED, that's where you can really, really make a difference. Otherwise, it's straight back to CPR. If it advises to give a shock, you press the shock button, making sure that everybody is standing back, and then it's straight back onto that chest again. And don't stop until the person tells you to stop or they start breathing normally. Every 2 minutes, the AED will then analyze again. So it goes to show that it's compressions and AEDs, and you really need both together. One on their own is no good. Well, not that it's no good, but, like, you know, they work best if you have the two together. So by just having an AED on your own, you still have to be able to do compressions. And if you don't have that AED, continue with your compressions, because you really will make a difference.
Okay.
You also spoke there about, you know, the, how you had attended a class in the past. So when you ring the emergency services, the call taker will ask you, is the person responding? They'll get you to check. They'll ask you to check and see how they're breathing. If you're unsure, they'll show you, you know, they'll tell you how to do it. And then they'll also tell you how to do the CPR. So if you listen to the call taker, they'll tell you exactly what to do. And you'd be surprised what you would have learnt in that class will actually come back to you once you're being given the directions.
Are some people a bit worried about causing damage, like breaking ribs or something like that, when they're actually doing the compressions?
Yeah, there is a fear out there, but I think it's getting better. I'm not so sure that people are as afraid. And that's why, you know, we're really saying, please don't be afraid to attempt CPR. Even if you've never learned it, attempt it. You know, if you break a rib, nobody is going to die from a broken rib. They really need, you know, you need to give that CPR. And as I said, like, even if the person doesn't need CPR and you start CPR and say they're only after fainting, they'll be very quick to tell you to stop. And that's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, yeah. Get
you
off
know?
Me.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. If they tell you to get off. Mm. But, like, otherwise, keep going, definitely.
And with children then, it's different, isn't it?
Children, it's slightly different. But then I always say to people, if you remember what you did for the adults and you do that the same for the child, you won't be going too far wrong. With children, you know, it is best to try and give some breaths as well. So after every 30 compressions, give 2 breaths if you can. Because a lot of the time with children and infants, it's caused by a lack of oxygen. So by you giving the breaths, you're ensuring that they're getting some oxygen in with your breaths. But again, if you don't know how to give the breaths or you're not able to give the breaths, at least do the compressions and get the AED.
And it can be quite tiring, I know, doing when you have to do so many compressions. So if there is somebody there with you, to let them take over so you can take a quick rest and then take turns.
Oh, absolutely. Like, every 2 minutes, like, CPR is hard work. There's no doubt about it. And I can tell you, 2 minutes of compression only CPR is heavy work. And especially now in the warm weather, it can be really hard work. And the quality of your CPR, after 2 minutes, you are getting tired, even if you don't feel tired. Because, you know, with the adrenaline, you may not feel tired, but actually the quality of your CPR wouldn't be as good. So if there's another person there with you or another two people there with you, keep swapping every 2 minutes. Obviously, if you're on your own, you're just going to have to keep going. And like, some CPR is better than no CPR, but it is tiring. So that's why when you're positioning yourself, kneel down as close to the person as you can and get directly over the person so that your arms are straight down on the chest and you're putting that, you know, you're putting all that effort, you're putting your back into it as such that you're not just doing it from your wrist. And that's how you will get the, you know, you'll get deeper compressions, you'll get stronger compressions while you're doing that.
Is it a myth, Bridget, that if you're about to have a heart attack, you might start smelling toast and things like that? That kind of story has been going around for a number of years, that you get funny smells.
I never heard that one before.
Never heard that one. Oh, anytime we smell toast in our house, we think, oh God, what is this? I never heard that one. Must be just me. Okay.
Never heard that one. No, and look, there are myths and everything else out there. And that's just something as well there that you said about when you're having a heart attack. Remember, a heart attack and a cardiac arrest are two completely different things.
Oh.
So a heart attack, the person may be complaining of chest pains, feeling unwell, maybe feeling like they're going to get sick. It could be cold, clammy, sweaty, breathless, dizzy. You know, there's all of those signs and symptoms, but they're more than likely, you know, they're awake and they're talking to you. A cardiac arrest, they collapse, they're unresponsive, and they're not breathing normally. So they are two different things. Now, you can start off having a heart attack that leads into a cardiac arrest, but they are two different things.
Right.
But both of them require you calling the ambulance service. So you ring your 112 or your 999, and then you'd be advised, if it's a heart attack, you'll be advised to take aspirin if you're not allergic and that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then wait for the emergency.
Is it quite unusual to, you know, see this happen to somebody like this, 29 years of age, a fit footballer? Is that quite unusual, or are we seeing more of that in younger people?
It's probably not that we're seeing more of it. I suppose there has been more awareness of young, you know, when these, you know, when these cardiac arrests happen. Like, you know, I'm not going to say what age I am, but I know when I started nursing initially, like, you know, there wasn't much awareness around cardiac arrest at all. Whereas over the last few years, several of the conditions, the long QTs, the cardiomyopathies, like at one time, they wouldn't have been diagnosed easily at all. Whereas now there's a huge awareness around all of these conditions. So I think that there's an awful lot more awareness in the last number of years about cardiac arrest, about doing CPR, about using AEDs. And that's then when we see these high profile cases, you know, and people surviving. Like, sometimes people would have died in the past and nobody would have really known what caused, you know, it was a sudden death, and that's what it would have been put down as. I know there is a statistic in Ireland, and it's kind of just around 100 people under 35 years of age, roughly. Now, and I haven't got those exact figures, that have died from sudden cardiac arrest each year. So it does happen. And that's the thing, that there are lots of cardiac arrests. There are several cardiac arrests every day in Ireland. And unfortunately, those that survive out of hospital, it's pretty scarce. Like in 2019, 190 people went home to their families that year. That's not a huge amount of people, but can you imagine the impact that that has on that 190 families that have their loved ones back home with them? And that's the whole importance of it.
Yeah.
If you can even save one person by doing CPR and using an AED, it just has such a knock-on effect on a whole family, on a community.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the death of a loved one in any community has a huge effect on the community.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was a terrible story last Saturday watching the football that has turned into a good news story, because he seems to be doing well now, and he was joking away in the hospital, and his teammates went to see him in hospital later on that weekend. And God love his wife, you know, she was watching on from the sideline.
Yeah.
She thought he had died, you know, so it's a good news story.
It's such a good news. Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah.
And like, if you remember, Fabrice Mumba had a cardiac arrest back a number of years ago as well. Now, don't ask me who he played for either. I'm very bad on the soccer. So we're talking GAA, it's different. But, you know, again, like, he's done a huge amount of work from the whole awareness around CPR and AEDs. So, you know, so like, these cases certainly do. They raise the profile. And it is great. And look, you know, for any listener out there that's looking for a little bit more information, if you go to the Irish Heart Foundation website, irishheart.ie, And if you go to the CPR section, there's a section in it, hard and fast rule of CPR. And we've put up three videos there. One is making the emergency call. The other is a demonstration of CPR. And the other is looking at how to use an AED. Because at the minute, because of the COVID restrictions, the community training, there's not a huge amount happening at the minute. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that it's going to come back pretty soon now. But that there's not a huge amount. But, you know, if people want to even look at the videos, it would refresh your memory. You know, it might just even ease your mind a little bit for the minute just to see those videos.
Yeah.
And then obviously attend the course as soon as you possibly can.
Definitely cannot do any harm. Bridget, thank you so much for taking our call today. Bridget Sinnott there, Resuscitation Manager for the Irish Heart Foundation. She's a good talker, isn't she? Well done, Bridget. Talk to you soon. This is Something for the Weekend on Ireland's Classic Hits.